We're turning this evening to the Word of God, to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians and the chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we will read from the verse number 20. Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 20. We want to speak this evening very simply on the subject of finding hope in a hopeless world. Finding hope in a hopeless world. Colossians chapter 20, and let's read together the Word of God Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 20, and we'll read the entire rest of the chapter. Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. We'll end there at the end of the chapter, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Before we come to the preaching of the word of God, perhaps we can stand together, please, for a word of prayer, just to change our position. If you can, let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come now around the Scriptures of truth. We ask, O God, once again for thy presence and for your power. Lord, how much we need thee. Come, O God, we pray. Speak, Lord, into every heart tonight. Lord, encourage us, challenge us. Lord, convict the unsaved tonight. Save the lost, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night we might all know that hope. That hope that is to be found even in the midst of a hopeless world tonight. So answer prayer. Continue on with us now. Give us help to preach. Give us help to hear. And glorify thy name. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Many people tonight are full of hope. They hope that sometime life will return to normal. Others hope that a vaccine or a cure will be found for COVID-19. Others hope that there won't be a second wave. Hope that they'll be able to get their lives back to what it was prior to March. Many tonight hope for a better future. Others hope that they won't catch coronavirus. So much hope in our world tonight, but precious little certainty. You see, for so many tonight in our society, the best they can do is just hope, wish, desire, long for that things will change and all of this will quickly pass. But you see, tonight, sadly, at the bottom of all of this hope, there is no foundation. There is no certainty. There are no guarantees. And you see, folks, as a result of all of that tonight, we have to conclude that we do live in a hopeless society. Because the hope of so many this evening is groundless and baseless. And yet tonight, there is a sure hope. Tonight there is a certain hope. Tonight there is a message that is worth spreading. And that message tonight has got nothing to do with the state or the health of our nation or of its people. It's got nothing to do with the plethora of statistics that we are confronted with day after day. This hope tonight has all got to do with the gospel. Because you see, tonight, in the midst of all of the frightening news, and yes, all of the fake news, there is real news tonight. There is real hope tonight. And as we read in verse 23, it is the hope of the gospel. It's not the hope of science. It's not the hope of man. It's the hope of the Word of God. It's the gospel tonight. Do you know that the gospel is the most positive news and story you will ever hear? The gospel of saving grace tonight is the most wonderful news that you will ever hear. You'll hear all sorts of news, I'm sure, in the course of this week that lies ahead of you. Some will be positive, most will be anything but. Most of it will be discouraging. But tonight, here is the greatest news. Here is the most positive message that we have tonight. It's the hope of the gospel. You see, while many are longing for hope and desiring after it, so many tonight are looking for it in the wrong places. They're turning to the wrong people. But as we bring our gospel service to a conclusion tonight, I want us to turn to the greatest news. I want us to turn to the greatest message. I want us to turn to a real hope tonight. And that hope is the hope of the gospel. Before we say anything more this evening, it's very important we ask you the question, have you got this hope? Or let me put it another way tonight, where is your hope tonight? And I'm talking tonight, where is your hope for your health? I'm asking you tonight, where is the hope of your soul? Because as we have pointed out in occasions past, one day your body and mine will succumb to death. Disease, old age, whatever it may be, will ravage this body of ours and our bodies will perish. But we'll all have a soul that will live on. Therefore tonight, where is your hope? Not for this time. Not for this earth. Not for this world. Where is your hope for eternity tonight? And folks, this is the message that we need to flood the world with this evening. This is the hope that the world needs to hear. This is the hope that our province needs to hear tonight. It's the message of the gospel. Do you know, I've listened and watched broadcasts and services. Many who call themselves evangelical. Many who we would describe as being sound. And there's no hope in what they're saying. There's no mention of the gospel. It seems that tonight many, and you would be surprised at them, who they are ashamed of the gospel. And don't want to preach the gospel. Oh, they want to bamboozle everybody with their wonderful knowledge of the scriptures and their wonderful grasp of doctrine. There's nothing wrong with that. But why not preach the gospel tonight? Why not, as Paul says, declare the hope of the gospel? I make no apology tonight that as long as the Lord gives me strength and as long as the Lord gives me help, that from this pulpit, particularly on a Sunday evening, we will preach the gospel. Plain, simple. I'm not here to bamboozle you tonight with facts and figures. I can't do that anyway. I'm simply here tonight as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, that which I was called to do. Why? Because it's only the gospel tonight that's going to turn this nation around. It's only the gospel tonight that's going to take men and women out of the fear and dread of death. Give them hope beyond the grave. As we come tonight to look at the subject of the hope in the hopeless world, we want to center our thoughts upon those well-known verses there, words at the end of verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 27. Here is the hope of the gospel. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of glory. As we consider this hope tonight, I want you to see first of all the totality of it. The totality of this hope. The entirety, the essence of this hope. It's summed up there in one word at the end of verse 27. Christ. Christ. That's the hope tonight. That's the totality. That's the entirety of the hope of the gospel tonight. It is Christ. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, it's not entirely clear what that word which is actually referring to in the previous part of verse 27. Maybe that it's referring to Christ as the riches. It may be referring to Christ as the glory. It may be referring to Christ as the mystery. All of those things are very true. Christ. The riches of Christ are great. The glory of Christ is great. The mystery of Christ is great. But here's the point. It's all coming to Christ. It's all centering in Christ. Because you see tonight, you take Christ out of hope, and you have no hope. You take Christ out of the equation tonight, you have no hope. And you take Christ out of that verse tonight, then there is no hope. The problem with this world tonight is that they believe they can have everything and do anything, live as they please and go as they want, and still think it will work out in the end. Many this evening believe they can reject Christ, they can turn away from Christ, they can have nothing to do with Christ, and still think that their life will be full of hope. Listen tonight, if you do not have Christ, you have no hope. If you do not have Christ within you, you have no hope. Well, you do actually. Tonight, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, never experienced His salvation, the only hope you have is the hope of the flames of hell. That's your hope tonight. That's all you have to look forward to. But coming back to the totality of this hope, it's found, it's summed up there in that one word, Christ. Here's the positive message tonight. Here's the glorious message tonight, it's Christ. It's all about Christ. Centers in Christ. Focuses in Christ. Let's just for a moment consider why Christ is the totality of the hope of the gospel. He is the totality of the hope of the gospel, first of all, because of His person. You read back a few verses in Colossians chapter 1, in the verse 15, talking about Christ there, he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Here's one aspect of the hope that Christ is because of His person. He is God. And He is God incarnate. He was God manifest in the flesh. Many tonight are putting their hope in man. Many tonight are putting their hope in mortal man. But listen, you need to have your hope in the God man. The one who is God of very God, yet in the incarnation became man and took our flesh, took our humanity into union with His blessed deity. Why? Why? Well, we read there in verse 20, to reconcile. To reconcile. There's the hope of the gospel that Christ, because of who He is, came to reconcile. You see, Christ left heaven. He left the glory, the splendor, the majesty of that place in order to give humanity a hope. I come back to what I said tonight. If there is no Christ in your life and there's no Christ in your heart, then you have no hope. But Christ came into this world to give hope and to reconcile a holy God and a sinful man and to reconcile the two together. And that was all based on His person. He who is God, yet man, the God-man. You see, tonight, that's why the whole spectrum, the whole scope of the gospel, it's based on Christ. You see, oh, many tonight, they'll talk about wonderful men. They'll talk about wise men. They'll talk about intelligent men. But at the end of the day, they're only man. There is no man. There is no man, living or dead, that can give you hope tonight but the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is His person, but there is also His work. Come into verse 22. Verse 22, Colossians 1, it says, in the body of His flesh through death. So we saw the person of Christ, that He is God, He became man. But here's His work now. Here's why He came. Here's what He came to do. He came to reconcile. How did He do that? It was through death. He came to offer Himself one sacrifice for sin forever. He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He was found in fashion as a man, humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, the cross work of Christ is so vital. The cross work of Christ brings hope to a hopeless world tonight. The cross work of Christ gives hope to a hopeless humanity tonight. Why? Because there on that cross, Christ took the punishment, the pain, the penalty of your sin, of my sin, in order to give you and me hope. Christ's person, He is God. Christ's work, He died. Those are the foundation stones tonight as to why Christ is the totality of this hope. And let me say something else tonight. It's not Christ and your works. It's not Christ and your religion. It's not Christ and your faith. Many will say that. It's not Christ in the church either. It's not Christ in your good living. It is Christ and only Christ tonight. He alone is the totality of this hope. Therefore tonight, is He your hope? Or is He part of your hope? We sang earlier, in Christ alone my hope is. Can you say that tonight? Can you be honest before God tonight and say, I'm hoping, trusting, resting only in Christ? Because all other hope is vain. There is the totality of this hope. I want you to see as well, secondly, there is the transaction of this hope. Come a little further into verse 27. We see that it says, Christ in you. Christ in you. You see, it's one thing to know Christ as your only hope. It's one thing to say, yes, I believe that Christ is my only hope. But it's another thing to actually receive Christ. Because there has to be a transaction. There has to be a moment, as we have sought to emphasize in the past, there has to be a moment of conversion. You just don't slide into Christ. You are taken out of your sin and you are placed in Christ. There's a transaction that must take place within your heart in the moment of conversion. Christ must be in you. Maybe this evening, you wouldn't disagree with anything I have said. You wouldn't go against anything that we've said about Christ being your only hope. But listen, is He your only hope? Has there been that moment of conversion? Do you know my greatest fear tonight, especially for the Protestant, is that they've been so brought up in this culture and this society that they believe. Not because of who they are or what they are, it's all going to be well. Listen, if there's never been a moment of conversion, if there's never been a moment of salvation, then it's not well with you tonight. If there's never been a time when you've known a change in your heart and a change in your life, when Christ is in you, then tonight you're still in your sin. You've never been transformed by the gospel. You do not have this transaction. Tonight you're still dead in your sins. You're still without Christ. You see, this verse does away with the popular myth tonight that all people are in Christ. You read through Paul's other letters. Remember how that he says we're all dead in trespasses and sins? Many tonight believe that they're born with redemption already within them. Many believe tonight it's all going to be all right. And there doesn't need to be anything actually happen or take place. But that is a hope without foundation tonight. You see, whenever the Holy Spirit deals and works and convicts a sinner, He takes them out of that sin. And there's a transaction of grace and places them in Christ. Christ as their only Saviour. Christ as their only hope. Christ becomes resident in the heart. Christ reigns in the life. There's a newness within the heart and life of the one who comes to Christ. You see, there is the miracle of the new birth. Christ in you at all speaks of a transaction. And listen, a transaction which is necessary if you are going to have this hope. Is Christ in you tonight? I'm not asking you, is He in your head? Is He in your heart? Are you still in your sin tonight? Still rejecting Christ? Oh, maybe not willfully or openly or publicly, but by your refusal to turn to Christ and be saved by Christ, you're still in your sin. Maybe it's pride tonight that's keeping you from being saved. You don't want to acknowledge you're a sinner. Maybe it's other people tonight. They're keeping you back from giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And there are people tonight standing between you and the hope of glory. Listen, there'll be nobody standing between you and the Lord on the day of judgment. And you cannot point the finger to anybody and say, it's because of them that I wasn't a Christian. It was because of them that I didn't get saved. Or you can't point to some circumstance and say, it was because of that that I didn't give my heart and life to Christ. There will be nothing between you and the Lord on that day. You'll be face to face with Him. You will give an account. And no excuse will ever be offered. You see, tonight, if the transaction of the gospel, the miracle of the new birth has not taken place in your heart and life, if Christ is not in you by regeneration and by salvation, then you have no hope. Is Christ in you tonight? Is He in you tonight? Are you saved? Plain and simple. Are you saved? If not, then tonight you're hopeless and you're bound for a lost eternity. There is the totality of this hope. There is the transaction of this hope. But finally, as we close this evening, I want us to see the transcendence of this hope. Verse 27, the end of the verse again, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. You see, tonight this hope transcends, goes beyond any other hope you might have. Maybe you're hoping tonight that the rest of your life will be all just go very well and life will be calm and there'll be no issues, there'll be no problems. You're hoping that. Maybe tonight your hope is that your family will all keep well and try to do well in life, and they'll do as best as they can. But tonight here's a hope. Here's a hope that transcends all other hopes. Here's a hope tonight that is greater than any other hope.
It's the hope of glory. It's the hope beyond the grave. It's the hope of eternity. As we have said, there will come a time when your earthly body will be lowered in to an earthly grave. But you have an eternal soul that will live on. And on the great resurrection day, that soul then will be united with the body and spend all eternity in either heaven, glory, or hell, damnation. Tonight, for those that are saved, what glories await us? Through our studies, the end, last few chapters of the book of Revelation, I hope we got a little glimpse of the great glories that there are for us beyond the grave. Just to think of heaven. Just to think of all the glory of that place. To think of the eternal presence of the Lord. To think of the beauty and the majesty in those tree-lined streets and the river of life. But most of all, to think that face to face we'll see the Saviour. What glories await us? Glories that we will never, ever be able to comprehend. We got a little glimpse of that in our studies. But you know, whenever we get there, we'll not be able to comprehend all that heaven really is. That's the hope for those that are saved, for those that are in Christ. But for those who are without Christ, the only hope you have is that place of eternal torment. The only hope you have is that place where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. The only hope you have this evening is the hope of a lost eternity. And listen, that's no hope at all. Therefore, why would you not tonight give your heart and life over to Jesus Christ? Why would you not allow the Lord by His Holy Spirit do that work within you? Come to Jesus Christ tonight. Throw down all your excuses. And be done with your delays. Tonight, come to Christ. Tonight, may Christ be in you, the hope of glory. That will be a hope and is a hope far greater than any other hope. And listen this evening. None of us knows what tomorrow, the next day, this week will bring. Many are making plans to get through this winter and to get out the other side. And hopefully, at some stage, all this will be over us. Whether we get through this winter and get out the other side, one day, folks, let's face reality, we all must needs die. And tonight it seems that this world has got a mindset that they're going to live for all eternity. And you're going to be here for all time. Yes, of course, you want to take the necessary steps and you want to look after your health and you want to do what you can. But one day, you will die. then where? Then where?
And it doesn't matter what precautions you've taken in life. It doesn't matter what steps you have done in life to try to protect yourself, your health, your family, and all the rest of it. How will it be with your soul in death? How will it be with your soul? The psalmist said, happy is that man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. I have no idea what this week will bring for me. We've our plans. Every day is planned out. But thank God tonight I know that should the Lord in His own plan and purpose for my life take me to glory, tonight I have a hope beyond the grave. Should you never hear me preach another sermon, should you never hear a gospel message tonight, will I meet you there? Will I see you in glory? How is it tonight with your soul? Can you say this evening with assurance, with certainty in your heart, Christ, you, Christ in me, the hope of glory? Is Christ your hope in life? Is Christ your hope in death? Where is your hope tonight? If you have no hope, then tonight it's time you turn to Jesus Christ. And tonight it's time you find Christ as your Savior. And then no matter what life may bring, or no matter where life may take you, you'll be able to say with Paul, Christ in me, the hope of glory. All this evening, tonight, don't turn away from Christ. Don't reject the gospel tonight. Don't continue on in your sin. Don't make excuses. But rather tonight, come to Jesus Christ. Come and find this hope in a hopeless world that's found alone in Christ. Will you turn to Him tonight?